If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 31 of Sir Kevin Says. We are with JD Perez. What's up, man?
What up, bro?
You chilling?
Chilling, man.
We're here, man.
We're doing it. Welcome. Windy outside. Inland Empire is a little bit of a drive for us LA folks. So without traffic, it's cool, though.
Yeah.
I think with traffic, it's a little bit of a hassle. But yeah, it's windy today, bro.
It is, man.
You'll probably hear the winds shushing.
Hopefully not. We're going to edit that out somehow. But you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
This is a Kevin's request, by
the way. Yeah, it is at my request. But all right. One, two, three, four.
I almost spilled my Inca Kola, bro. That was dangerous.
So that little piece or rhythmic part, what would you call that? Like a cadence?
Yeah.
Something like that. JD showed that to me, man, like maybe 4 years ago.
I think so.
From Douglas Guevara, is that his name?
Douglas Guevara.
Guevara. From
Grupo. It was him and a couple of other people from Grupo Nietzsche.
Yeah.
And they were just doing, you know, probably messing around in the studio and came up with a, but I've heard that before somewhere else.
I don't think
that's the
it's typical.
That's
where,
Douglas was a genius. I mean, passed away a couple years ago, but I mean, he's one of the best percussionists I've seen.
Yeah,
killer dude.
Yeah. Well, everybody, welcome JD Perez to the show. It's episode 31, like we said.
Thank you. We here.
Juan David Perez, known as JD, is a Los Angeles-based drummer and percussionist originally from Cartagena de Indias, Colombia. Moving to the U.S. at a very young age, JD became exposed to a broad spectrum of genres such as pop, funk, Latin, R&B, and everything in between. JD attended Musicians Institute and Cornell School of Contemporary Music, in which he got his bachelor's degree in drum performance. JD has worked with a wide range of artists and on various productions such as the Latin AMAs, America's Got Talent, the Emmys Governor's Ball, Kanye West Sunday Service, Big Sean, and many others. Well, welcome, bro.
Thanks, man.
Dude, how's it going, man?
Everything's going crazy right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't? I mean, who hasn't been going, feeling a little weird with this whole pandemic, trying to just do life as a freelance musician? But we're here. We have air in our lungs and we're healthy. So
yeah,
that's all we could hope for.
So. Yeah. I feel like as of late, I've been asking everybody, what have you been up to since March?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of been where everything started. So what have you been doing since that time?
So definitely in the studio a lot more. Just doing myself, getting better at recording and just doing things that I normally wouldn't have time to do when I'm just, you know, just about, you know what I'm saying? Like practicing a lot. Yeah. I haven't practiced this much since
school days.
School.
Yeah,
for sure. It's been a relief in that sense, but you know, just hoping to get back out there with everybody, my percussion brothers and sisters and drummers and it's been a whirlwind, but we're here, bro.
Yeah,
we're here.
That's cool, man. You're originally from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you make your way over here? How'd that happen?
Just a little observation. You've had a couple of Colombians in here already.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this is we're gonna paint this whole place yellow, blue, and red, bro. Because you had Neza, who's that? You told me she's
part Colombian.
Right?
Yep.
And then Justo.
Yeah.
Justo and I have known each other for a long time, man. It's a funny story how me and Justo met. So him and my dad had already been working forever. And then when I got here, Spanish is my first language.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't know a lick of English and it was just, you know, it was new to me, just this whole world. So when I got here, I remember Justo came to a house where we were at. I forgot. And he gave me a LeetPad learning system. You know what those are? It's like this little book, and it's interactive, and it's like a picture of frogs, and like you click on them with this with some pen, and that's how I learned English.
Wow. For
like, so like, you know, Justo has been a big influence in my life since a very long time. So,
man,
I'm glad you guys got together and got to, you know, get it done, and I mean, a master of knowledge, that
yeah.
guy.
So. I mean, amazing musician, but even more of an amazing person.
Oh, man. And that's the main thing, bro.
Yeah.
That's the main thing about people like Justo and guys that have done it for a long time. It's just mm-hmm. like you see the, there's no ego. It's just, you know, them and you, and they see you, and it's nothing more than that.
So, right, right.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question from Cartagena, Colombia, mm-hmm. I was born there, and then I moved to the capital, Bogota, for a bit, and I would move back and forth because my grandparents were living down there and everything. And in a small town, I remember my favorite childhood memories were definitely in a small town, like 2 hours from Cartagena, called mm-hmm. Maria La Baja, which is like there's one paved road. Everything else is like straight up there. So like, you know how Justo kind of told you, oh, like the houses over there, it had no like running water and this
yep.
and that. That's how a lot of towns are. And we're from the same region in the northern coast of Colombia.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a lot. And you see so many things, bro. There's so much need in those places. And to me, like, it's just raw. You know what I'm saying? Everything is, I mean, the food, everything is organic.
Yeah.
You know, it's my grandpa used to wake up early in the morning and go to tents to some... He had two fincas, we call them ranches, I guess
okay.
you would say.
Got you.
One of them had like, you know, all vegetables and all this stuff. And the other one was like a milk farm. So we'd go there and we'll literally drink milk out of the cow, like
wow.
unpasteurized, like just let's go, bro. Never got sick, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I grew up in that, and it just kind of made me, superficial stuff to me, it doesn't really mean anything because of, you know, the way I grew up with my grandparents
sure.
and at the time my dad was traveling all the time, and it was a lot of time with them that I remember. So yeah, so in those towns, man, and it's just there's a lot of need. There's kids that are really in need of affection, and they're always out in the street and stuff like that, So, like, one thing that I really want to do, like, you know, when I get the opportunity is go back and open up a school, bro. There's so much talent there.
Yeah.
It's just, I remember when I was a little kid, there was this guy that used to sell, like, it's called butifarras, which is, like, little, like, meat, I don't know, like, sausages, I guess.
Okay. Like, links? Like
okay, exactly.
Got you.
So, he used to sell them around town or whatever. And then he made a band of champeta, which is the rhythm from the coast. It's kind of similar to reggaeton.
Okay.
But it has a lot of African influences and
sure.
stuff. So they would come rehearse at my aunt's house. And the drums, bro, the drums were made out of like, it was like the x-ray. You know how you get the x-rays?
Yeah.
Like tightening on some, I don't know what it was. the symbol was like this... on top of a like, you know, those trash bins.
The trash
yeah.
can. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like they would like flatten them and mm-hmm. making it like it was one of those things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I would play on that, you know, from time to time because I already knew how to play from before. But it was just like that's the kind of like stuff that I love, like
yeah.
the simplicity of things.
Sure.
And then you know, so yeah, that was a lot of my childhood memories. And
yeah.
Even before that, when we moved to Bogota, I went to this conservatory. I went in playing piano. And then with that, the next year, they gave me a free scholarship because I was such a good player, or whatever. So I ended up not doing it anymore because, we were moving a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
With my dad and he's a musician as well. And
just to kind of cut you off,
yeah.
Your dad's pretty well known in Colombia,
mm-hmm.
right? As
yeah.
a singer, performer. What was that experience like? You know, having a father that's relatively known in the country and you're constantly traveling or, oh, that's, you know, Nando's kid or
yeah.
what was that like?
Normal. I mean, as a kid, you don't really notice, you know, anything other than that's just your dad, and you still go home and fight or like argue or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he was a big influence in my life, my dad, Nando Perez. So, you know, he would, it's funny watching all the other performances on VHS, whatever that is. it was just a fun thing to have him around, and that's how I got started in music. They would always have rehearsals at the house. I was a crazy kid, bro. Like, I was always like, you know, trying to see what was going on in the rehearsals, getting in, jumping on the drum set, and all that stuff. So it was cool having that influence definitely around me. He relocated here. We travel a lot with this cumbia band called Sonora Dinamita.
Okay.
Traveling all over the US, Canada, Mexico, whatever, you know. And he was like, I'm mainly working here in the US. Let's, you know, move our stuff over there. We're supposed to move to Miami, but he changed his mind and moved us to LA. So.
You think it's worked out best that you guys have ended up here in Cali?
I love LA, bro.
Yeah.
I love LA. I would not leave it for anything. Even though Miami is just like, Miami's Latin America, I love that too, bro. It's a really, really cool vibe out
right,
there.
Right.
I love LA for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you've been playing percussion, congas, timbales, all this stuff. Then you transitioned to drums, or was that something that came?
No, I started with drums.
Okay.
I started with drums, and I started percussion late, bro.
Wow.
I remember it was always there, but I never really paid attention to it. I was always just playing drums. When we moved here, I was playing at church and stuff like that. Just like about half of us start at church.
Well, yeah, most of today's pop drummers, for sure. I'd say like 85, 90% of drummers come from a church background. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was just gradually I started kind of going towards percussion just because it was always around me. But my first instrument is, and main is drums.
Yeah.
Sure.
And what's your favorite style of music? I think I kind of know the answer, but...
Bro, it depends, man.
Country.
It depends, bro. I love everything. Like honestly, I love everything. Obviously, like to me, like pop funk, it's there's nothing like it. But obviously, like Latin music, it's like
that's your upbringing.
It's so vibrant,
yeah.
It's always there, and it just adds to everything when you know a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Especially in LA, you have to. There's such a wide variety of
exactly. Yeah,
so it's really important for sure.
How do you think the collegiate experience with music, both doing Musicians Institute and CCM, not CCM, CSCM, have helped you? What are some ways you think that going to school helped kind of pave some type of roads for you, maybe that, you know, you're working in now, or, you know, anything you could add to that?
The first thing is relationships. I've met a lot of people that are still... are connected with today because of, you know, school. It gives you a leg up to be educated. You know what I'm saying? Like, learn how to read, learn how to just become a well-rounded musician. You know, like, you don't want to come to an audition or a gig or something and you're the odd man out because you don't know how to do one thing. Obviously, there's a lot of variations that come into play when, you know, you're hired for a job.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing is, like, most of the people I'm pretty sure on this podcast have said is, just be a chill dude. Just be cool, bro. Just be a cool hang, you know, be mindful of others and obviously come prepared. Know the stuff, the probably the top two important things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just an added bonus when you know how to read, when you know how to, you know, just appeal to the musicality of a lot of this.
Yeah.
You know.
I remember when we were taking the the piano classes with Carlos, I think we jumped right in. You grew up playing a little bit of piano?
Yeah, I did.
Because when I walked in there, man, and he's like, okay, play a C major scale. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, did you already kind of know that?
Or? I knew my major scales.
Okay.
Like, real good. Like the fingering and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you jumped into Carlos class, like, you jumped in the deep end, bro. Like, I remember us, bro. Like, we would be in the rehearsal rooms, and and just sweating, bro.
Stressing it out,
I mean,
man.
Mainly because we used to procrastinate really bad, but it was fun.
It was fun,
and I learned a lot. I just wish we could, we could have continued kind of going towards that path. But just, when you start working, it's just like, you gotta pick and choose what you're doing.
What experience did you have, if any at all, where you kind of were surprised by the magnitude of how serious music is to you? Like, for example, you walk into a gig and you didn't prepare as much as you think you should have. Have you ever experienced that at all?
I try not to get to that point. Obviously, it has happened because there's just, things that happen in the industry where you just can't control.
Yeah.
But I try to prepare myself as much as I can, as best as I can, to make sure that when a difficulty comes up, I guess, in whatever situation I'm in, I'm able to answer with it. If I need to improvise or something, mm-hmm. So be it. I could go back to this gig I did in 2014 with like heavy hitters, bro. It's like Alberto playing percussion. I was playing drum set. Harry Kim on trumpet, George Shelby. So it's like the horn section from Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And it was like Rique Pantoja, you know him?
Yep.
I mean,
keyboard, right?
And I think it was two keys that day. And then it was, I was young, bro. So then like, I would meet with the guitar player who would call me for the gig. David Martinez, who's an amazing person, amazing teacher, guitar player. And we would like practice before the actual rehearsal because like he wanted me to become prepared. I was like the youngest one. And anyway, like I was just like from that rehearsal, I was so aware of like, I'm getting into it. What I'm saying? Like, get your stuff together because it's nothing but not challenges, but it's real now.
It's business.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's business. Yeah.
So, obviously I took it serious. I learned the stuff and I mean, everybody was happy with it. And from that, it's just, it's just a growing experience. Everything is just a growing experience, bro.
Yeah.
For sure.
What qualities should a drummer have? A good drummer.
Definitely become prepared. We're timekeepers of the band. You have to be best friends with the metronome, mm-hmm. first of all. And then after that, like play your part. I try not to, get crazy. And when it's asked to me, I try my best to do it. I think that's the best quality. Timekeeping for sure. And then, play the stuff you need to play at the right time. I think timing is everything when you're playing drums. And if it's Latin music or if it's pop, whatever it is, just play your part.
Have musicality in the back of your mind. As drummers, we think sometimes it's how many fills can we fit into one bar, which is great if that's your solo section, but many times it's locking in with the bass. If you have multiple instruments, a horn section, there's a lot of parts that compose a great song or good music, right? These experiences that you've gone through as a musician, coming from Colombia to the US and, you've done the Emmys, the Latin AMAs. Do you think that the calling that you are fulfilling now as a musician is what you were created for?
Yes, definitely. But it took me a long time to realize that. When I was growing up, I was really into, I still am, into sports. And I thought that might be a path that I wanted. So my dad was always pushing me to music, follow it. I knew it. I know this is for you. God has a plan for you. You have a great gift. Go with it. And I would always fight him on it. I'm like, nah, man, I wanted to do sports. I want to do this and that. And I mean, sports was a huge, huge, huge blessing in my life because that translated into music. Hard work, dedication, waking up early, even though you have trials and tribulations, in sports, when you have injuries, sometimes you have to play through them.
Yeah.
In music is the same, maybe not injuries more or less, but, we have a lot of, things behind the scenes that people don't know about. Right.
Yeah.
And we still have to deal with it and make sure we smile when the camera is on, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it translated well into music. But when I found out that music was for me, like I dove in head first because I knew that I lost a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? Like for instance, the way I went to MI was pretty crazy because, I was going after I graduated high school, I went to Glendale College for a little bit. And I was studying in history, which history is like
one of your favorite subjects,
bro. Yeah, I love history so much. People hate watching movies with me because all I want to do is watch historical movies, you know, World War II stuff, and I just love finding out about dates and things that history might teach us.
Yeah,
you know, and so I went there and I was miserable, bro. Like I didn't want to do it. I was like, I wasn't going to class. That's the reason why at Shepherd I had to like do all those general eds, because in school I wasn't doing any of that, bro. So I went to, so then I found out about MI online. Nobody told me about it. I just looked at it. I was like, I have to change my the course of where I'm going. If I'm going to do music, I'm going to do it right and become educated and everything. So I researched MI, saw the prize. I was like, oh my God, like, how is this going to happen? You know? So I remember at the time my siblings, I would take them to school at 5 a.m. And it was a school in near Hollywood. So right after I would drop them off, at 5 a.m., I would drive to MI, park outside, and start praying. I'm like, God, I you know, if this is the path for me, show me that this is what you want. I mean, I'm going to, with those prices, bro, I was not going to mess around, bro. I was going in for blood. Like, I was going to do it. And I did that, bro, for like a couple of months. Every single day, drop them at 5 a.m., drive to MI. 5 a.m., drive to MI. And then so it became a reality. You know, I was able to go. And I remember I would have class from like 9 a.m. to about like 5:30 p.m. I would get some food in between or whatever. And then I would practice from 5:30 till 2 a.m. in the morning. Every single day. Except for Sunday, because I was at church.
Yeah.
Every single day. And when we had like two, I'm a night owl. So when we had like those 2 week breaks in between quarters, I would go to MI at like 1 in the morning and like leave at like 7 or something. Because it was 24 hours. It was open all, you know, all day. So that's when I knew that, you know, if that's my calling, I'm going to go all in.
That's good.
There's no safety net. Like, you're either going to do this or you're going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
That's kind of when I knew that, you know, this is going to be for me.
That's
so
awesome, man.
Oh, and then by the way, the timbal thing, it was there, but I wasn't really practicing or whatever. So the stuff that I know is from like I started MI when I was like 19 or so. And so I went in and I would start practicing timbal, watching videos, a lot of videos of Douglas and Luisito Quintero.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just the ones that have done it like the way I want to do it, which is like pocket when you need to. And when you have to go out, like, you know, do it, but very musical. I mean, there's not a lot of people as music as Luisito, and I was just like, yeah, this is the guy I need to learn from. So, it was that's kind of when I started late with timbales for sure.
Yeah.
But I picked it up pretty quickly because I would always listen to music. I would always have that around me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Difference between living your dream and achieving your goals.
Oh man, I feel like goals are just like stepping stones. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that's like, oh, I reached a goal. Like, I'm just going to stop there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And in between that is when you live the dream. Like, for instance, going back to my grandma's small town, when you see the type of lives that some people there live, and you go and you play at the Dolby Theater or you play at any venue, literally any venue here, you know, no matter how big or small, you're like, man, I'm so blessed to do it. And it took me a while to understand that too. Like, because, you know, I mean, we're humans, so we do take a lot of things for granted.
Yeah.
And it makes us, like, for instance, during this pandemic, it's when you realized, wow, like 2019 and 2018 and whatever before that, like, we were like in the promised land. Like, that we're doing it. When a lot of us are thinking during that time, like, I can't wait till next year to see what's, like, enjoy it now. Like, that's the dream. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the dream, at least for me.
Yeah.
And looking back at it, you know, I'm very happy to have done a lot of the things that I have done, but I'm not done yet. And it doesn't mean I'm not happy with what I'm living with right now. So I think that's the difference. I think goals are stepping stones to get to a better life. And when you get older, I see how family, friends, over materialistic things are,
that's
are
good.
I mean, it's
more
everything.
Valuable.
Well, for
yeah.
sure. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's things that cannot be replaced.
Yeah.
Cars, you know, everything that you could imagine that's, you know, material, like, it's you can get it back for sure.
Yeah.
And then when they go away, like, you learn how to live without it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, can you learn how to live without your family or your friends or, you know, people that are close to you? You can't.
Right.
So,
right.
I think that's one of the most important things for sure.
Given the state of affairs, where do you think the music industry is heading?
That's a good question, bro. Not a lot of people could say that they know for sure. We could all, you know, try to guess where it's going. But I do think that recording is gonna, you know, be even a bigger thing than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody's doing it now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing it here. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, I'm doing it, you know, in my place more than I have done before.
Yeah.
Just because that's the new norm. So I feel like things will get better in that sense. But, you know, there's nothing like, I don't know how the whole touring thing is gonna happen. People just don't feel comfortable around each other super close by. You know, I'm like, I did this gig where it's just like, you know, people in the cars. It was so weird, but.
Oh, was I it mean, like a drive-in event?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
So it's just like, you know, we can have that in like at the Rose Bowl or you know what I'm saying? Cars coming. I mean, it could. I mean, who knows? But mess up the grass. But but I mean, I don't know. It's just, I feel like we're going to do a lot more recording. I mean, and we're already doing at home stuff, but I'm talking about in the sense of like, you know, having stuff come out and people going out and getting a record, maybe like it used to be, you know what I'm saying?
So that's good, man.
So I think everything will sort itself out. We just have to pretty much survive it, you know,
yeah.
as musicians.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us depend on, I mean, a lot of us are freelancers. It's just reinventing ourselves for sure. And I've taken up songwriting too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I've taken up songwriting and, it's just something that I've always read when I was a kid, and I stopped, you know, when I got a little bit older. But I think it's a nice aspect of really like putting yourself apart. Also, like, I'm not just a drummer, but you know, I like to also, you know, tell my story or tell other people's story.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, it's just about reinventing yourself at this time for
yeah.
sure for us.
Yeah. Are there any other passions we don't know about,
bro? I started cooking, man. I started cooking.
You hit me up when you're telling me, hey, what kind of fish does ceviche yeah. have and all this
yeah.
stuff?
Because I was trying to find something different. Because I know you have to use a white fish, first of all, right? And I was using tilapia, but
which is
Peru,
what I thought you
yeah,
needed. Yeah, yeah.
But in Peru, you use like sole fish or you use, I forgot the other name. I think here you call it flounder or something.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I'll give it to you, bro. Like Peruvian. I'll tell you my top
say
five.
Say this in order and looking at the camera.
Now I'm not going to do it because Kevin just asked me to do it. No, bro. I mean, Peruvian is not a joke. I love Asian food. And
yeah.
I know that Peru has a lot of influence from Asia. So
definitely.
That mixture is just, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Colombian cuisine is like, you know, it's bomb too. But yeah. Thai food. I love Thai food.
Thai food.
So I've been, you know, tearing it up in the kitchen a little bit. I've been getting good compliments. So,
you yeah. got a chef name at all?
Nah, you put me on the spot, bro. I don't.
Hey,
I
you're
don't.
A musician, bro. You're used to this
know,
stuff.
Right?
So.
Yeah, that's actually,
Chef
JD. Yeah, JD boy. You know where I'm going with that. Oh man.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. So, by the way, for those that want to try a dope combination of Peruvian food, which we kind of discovered this.
Yeah.
You do arroz chafa de pollo, which is...
No, we did carne.
Oh, carne.
Yeah.
Okay. Either combination of arroz chafa de pollo, which is chicken fried rice. It has just what? Rice, ginger, green onions.
Egg.
And then beef or chicken, right? And then you have ceviche mixto, which has octopus, fish, shrimp, sweet potato, lettuce.
That big corn, what's that called?
In Spanish, it's called choclo.
Okay.
In English...
Big corn.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. And a lot of lemon juice. And ají amarillo.
Yeah.
Ají amarillo is very good, mixed in with lemon. But anyway, that combination is amazing. I don't know. We had it one time when we went to that place in Glendale.
Mamita,
and it was, yeah, it was bomb.
Yeah.
It was bomb.
Yeah, it's they do it right.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of this guy named Mark Wings. He's like a food vlogger. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't cook though, which is weird. I don't think he does, but he explains the things so well that it's just like, it's very attracting to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The viewer and the listener.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, JD, what does value mean to you, man?
I feel like value has a lot to do with personal growth. When you're growing up, you're very unsure about yourself. You're trying to figure life out in general. When you do though, it becomes clear to you who deserves you and who doesn't. For instance, in music, there's people who like to undervalue a lot of what you do, and it's unless you know who you are as a person, that's when you're able to use the word no. And I think that's one of the most important words in business. Even though, yeah, I mean, you might lose an opportunity, you might lose some money, but you gain something. You gain experience. You gain self-love. And I think that's very, very important in this industry where they tear you down as much as they lift you up. So you have to balance it up.
Yeah.
So I think when you know who you are, you know what you're about. That's when people are able to see, you know, your worth for sure.
Yeah.
And it's not even talking about money. I'm not talking about work or anything like that. It's just about you as a person. And I wish that people could understand that the most important thing is caring about just one another. And people will see that, and people will, you know, automatically become attracted to you. You know, in a sense of, you know, like there's something about Kevin that is just like you know. He's just a cool dude, so I'm just gonna freaking hire him. You know what I'm saying? Like it just because you just give out that, you know.
Yeah, it's like a personal aroma of some sort, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. I believe in God, so I believe that His grace and goodness really does follow you everywhere you go. And when it does, people, you know, feed off of it. I mean, some people might call it aura or, you know, whatever you want to call it, but there's something there. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, the value you put on yourself is the value that, you know, others will perceive you as. So.
Attaching to that last set of statements that you were talking about, your relationship with the Lord, how important has that been in your journey?
Faith in God is the thing that keeps you grounded when you want to do things that are not of the world, I guess you would say. Yeah. Or of the world, sorry.
Yeah.
So I think that, and obviously everybody, you know, has moments of weakness, and all you have to do is just pretty much find God. And I deal with that every day. You know, sometimes I, you know, struggle to like forget to pray or something, and it's not, you know, and it helps to have people around you that have that same mentality as you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because you can keep each other accountable. You
right.
know, like, you know, it's hard for me to come out and ask a person like, yo, like I'm struggling with this, can you help me out? But if somebody comes to me, I'm like, yo, like I'm dealing with the same thing too. So let's feed off of each other and just grow. You know what I'm saying? So
that's good, man.
So thankfully I had a very good example of my parents, my dad, who was, you know, in the business for such a long time, but you know, he is the most, you know, down to earth, charismatic, and he loves God so much. It's just like it's very good to see that, you know, you could make it in this business and not lose yourself.
That's good, man.
For sure.
That's important for believers, I think, more than anything. Not just artists, because a lot of people just say it's just artists and they lose themselves. And, you know, we hear about some singers that grew up Christian and then they just kind of departed from the faith. But equally, it applies to musicians, that we're all exposed to the same things, you know, especially if we're playing for mainstream artists or whatever the case is. You know, it's important to be rooted, and that consistently calls on us to just be disciplined enough to know what we say yes and what we say no to, because we struggle with our own things.
Exactly.
You know, so, well, JD, where can people find you? Social medias, man.
Oh, man. Bro, I'm horrible with social media. Like, for real. Like, I didn't grow up with it. So, like, it's so you can find me on MySpace.
Tom?
Yeah. Instagram, Facebook. I'm trying to get more active on YouTube.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah, but
well, what, I mean, what's where do they search you
on Instagram? Is JD_Perez with two Z's.
Okay,
on Facebook, just JD Perez. I'm pretty sure we all have a bunch of friends in common, so we'll fight each other. And then YouTube, JD Perez as well.
Okay, cool.
Just like that.
Nice, man. Well, this is episode 31 with JD Perez.
Three what?
The homie, man. I can't believe it's been 6 years we've known each other, man. It's been a ride, and he's always been down to earth, and just we've done a lot of things together, man, believe it or not.
We have.
The whole collegiate experience was a lot of fun having JD. We were like the dynamic duo, they called us.
Yeah. We're always hanging out and going to the mall. You like see every day.
Yeah, at the Glendale Galleria. We should be studying our musicianship. Yeah. And we're over at the mall eating candy. And
You were. I wasn't.
The Sweet Factory, man.
They closed it down, I think. They did. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
That was a lot of fun. For sure. A lot of fun.
Good times, man. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming through, man. This is episode 31 with JD Perez. We'll see you guys on the next one.